And Jesus was about to return to his Father. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. So that eliminates all other religious ways because they're not going the way of Jesus. Most 90, surely, I don't know, 90%, let's just say, of the world forces themselves to behave, and God doesn't count that. So even though men force themselves to behave and look civilized and get along, God doesn't want behavior. He hates it. I mean, hates it. There's nothing, he would rather have immoral, ungodly behavior than people behaving themselves and saying this is what God wants. It isn't what he wants. I mean, it's okay to behave yourself. People get along with you better. But you'll never get into heaven, so you just need to know that. So whatever your purpose was, it certainly was not to please God. What he wanted was that you be what you are, which is sinful and wicked.
Amen.
And some of you have done very well. Some of you have done very well. So you're very good. That's very pleasing to God. Because I want to tell you something. No other God can say this. God loves sinners.
Amen.
He doesn't love righteous people. That is self-righteous. That is, you forced yourself, you compelled yourself, you made great efforts to behave only to please people. And it does please people. People are pleased that you didn't steal their hubcaps. And they like that. But the truth is, God hates it because you done it. You did that. It would have been better if you just had acknowledged, God, I didn't do anything to please you. I did everything selfishly. I did everything for my own will and pleasure. I did nothing to please you. I never worshipped you one time.
Amen.
Yeah. So, what God wants is, you know, truth in the inward parts. And Jesus did not come then to increase morals. I'm going to say that again because that's what everybody thinks. The church is not to improve the moral character of the earth. Yet everybody believes it, certainly all scholars and most people, that civilization is what God's all about. A better civilization. Man at his best state is altogether
vanity.
If that's true, if man at his best state, not God, but man at his best state is altogether vanity, if all our righteousness, all, is filthy rags before God, then obviously God doesn't want anything you can do. Never has and never will. And even though this is not a new teaching, it always sounds new every time it's said because people actually believe God wants you to behave. And all he has to do then is punish those that don't and reward those that do. Never going to happen. He will never reward anybody for behaving. He wants Jesus Christ, who died for you, who was perfect, who actually didn't do it by his own strength. He said, the Father who dwells in me doeth the works. So Jesus never did one work. Never. No matter what you think, no matter what you believe, even no matter what you've read in the scripture, it appears to you that it says this. The truth is, Jesus didn't do any of those works. Good teacher, he said, why do you call me good? It's the Father who dwells in me. None is good but God. And of course, he was God, so he could have said, you're right, I'm God. But he chose not to do that because he wants you to believe and to know that he didn't come for himself. He didn't come to be worshipped at that moment. He just came to tell you the truth. Told that to Pilate. I'm just here to tell you the truth. And so he didn't brag about or boast on that I'm the Son of God, though he was. He actually came to do the Father's will. I came not to do my own will, but the Father's will. I'm not doing any words, saying anything of my own. I'm not doing any deeds, not doing anything of my own. I'm a trustee of the Father. I'm a steward of the Father. I do his will. I don't do my own will. Not my will, but thine be done. So when Jesus came, and I know it's confusing, but get unconfused. In other words, be clear. The scriptures, the written word, forget what people think and say and do. I would say again, you know, 90% of churches, well, probably higher, but don't teach what I just taught, which is that the truth is God doesn't want you to behave. He hates it. He hates it. There's nothing he hates more. He said, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. So he's very clear about that. I would that you were cold, he said. I wish you hated me. I would rather that than that you are lukewarm. In other words, you're pretending to be a good Christian, you have the form of religion, but you deny the power of it because it isn't the Holy Spirit that's doing your works. Unless your works are wrought by God, unless they're wrought by the indwelling Holy Spirit inside of you, your works are worthless.
Amen.
In fact, they're evil. They're totally evil. I got at least one amen. Could I get some more? Again, we're not talking about what you believe and what you think and, you know, how well you receive what I just said. We're talking about what it says in the Bible. If there was anything that a man could do, then certainly you could do it, and you could try to do it. But he never asked for that. He deliberately gave the law so you wouldn't keep it. I will say that again. This is the Jewish mistake. He gave the law not to want anyone to say, "I'll do it," which they did say, but to show them they couldn't. So the only reason he ever gave a law, give a law to any child, they will not do it.
Amen.
Now, they can pretend. Mother, I was the only one. I got a star. Huh? All the other kids were bad. Well, okay, but that's just pretending. That's just little kid stuff. But the truth is, everybody is evil, nasty, filthy, shallow, vain, hypocritical, liar, selfish, etc. Could I hear an amen?
Amen.
Okay, everybody's like that. Even church people. Church people are the worst. Because they add to it judgmental. You know, they're judgmental. Thank God I'm not like her. My God, what is wrong with him? You know, and so it's easy to judge, point the finger. But the truth is, God is not into that at all. He gave the law to expose everybody. Moses exposes. That's it. End of the matter. So you are not good. You will never be good. Even in eternity, you will never be good. Is that clear? You aren't good here. You're not going to be good there. The only thing that is good is God, who is good, loveth you. That is ridiculous. That is the most absurd religion in the world, to say that God loves sinners. Now, how many know that should be good news?
Amen.
Unfortunately, it's only, well, you know, I guess God pities that person. But it's you he's talking to. He loves sinners, yours. Not just your deeds outward. That's what we think sin is. Sin is what I do outwardly. Thank God I didn't sin today. Yes, you did. Because the tree is what's evil that produced that fruit. So he's not looking at your behavior. You'll never get into heaven because you did a good work. You never did a good work. You never will do a good work in all eternity. Only God is good because he's God. So God loves you as a sinner. Julie, you are. Not going to say anything about David. So you produced him. Did you produce this person here?
It's my fault.
Yes, it is totally your fault. No, it's not. Now, he would have sinned even without you. You can be as oppressive as you wish to be. It doesn't matter. David would have been a sinner. Amen?
Amen.
Now, how many know that we all sin inwardly, outwardly? Who cares? Everybody's a sinner. Now, to me, this is good news, because I are a sinner. I always have been and always will be. Apart from him, you can do
nothing.
That sounds like nothing. No thing. It sounds like you can't do anything apart from him. Obviously, he wants a relationship with you, holy with unholy, godly with ungodly. If you want, that is what's weird about our religion. That's why it's the only true religion. It fits real people, not liars. So, let God be true and every man a liar. So the scripture is very clear, and yet I would say pastors don't dare to preach what I just preached or say what I just said, though they live it every day. And the ones that are the most spiritual are the most hypocritical, most. And they're going to have the most demonic activity. So, that is the only worship we have. The only worship we have is to thank him for what he's done. Praise him for who he is, and to then adore him and love him because he first loved us.
Yes.
I don't know why he did. He's completely an idiot. He's an idiot. Why would he love me? You know, unless you know that, you're not going to be happy. She that hath been forgiven much loveth much.
Amen.
So if you've been forgiven a lot, meaning everything, then you loveth much. That's all. That's how you can tell who a Christian is, because they're lovers. Why are they lovers? Because they didn't do it. God did it. To God be the glory, not me.
Amen.
To God be the glory, not me. Well, that's not fair. Yes, it is. Because when God gets all the glory, he just gives it to you. He wants to give it. He doesn't want to give it to you as a wage because you did something worthy. I mean, there's nothing you've ever done that's worthy. But yet the whole culture is telling you you did. But the truth is, we're all blackguards.
Amen.
You don't even know what that is, but that's bad. That's not good. Everybody here is a liar, a deceiver, a trickster, etc., etc., etc. You've been selfish from the beginning, from the time you entered this world. No. 9 months even earlier. Remember King David said, I was conceived in sin. It doesn't mean because of the way he was born. He's talking about, you know, that's been with me from the beginning. Even before I came out. As I said many times as a joke, you say the babies never come out and say, Mom, how can I help? I'm here. I have come out to bless you. They don't do it. They cry, help me, everybody take care of me. You know, I hate this world. You know, and it's cold out there. It's so nice where I was. So God loves us as sinners. This is the most extraordinary. You never hear Buddhists say that. You'll never hear the Muslims teach that. They teach hate bad people, infidels. That's us. And so all religions hate all the other religions because they're not as true as they are. We don't. We have to pity them. Why? Because they don't know the truth. And you can't just talk the truth. You have to walk the truth. Or they don't. It's not convincing to tell somebody, well, your religion is wrong. That's worthless. They need to see the fruit that there is really a living God right there, not someone you're pointing to in heaven or someone who's coming in the future or came in the past. Our God is a living God, and he should be seen in your works of love and joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control. You ought to be able to see that and experience that in a living way. How many know if you're in the road, it won't happen? It won't happen. It won't happen. If you're in the way, if you're the one trying to help out, God, let me help you here. I could see right now you need a good person here. It's me. I hate it when people do good because it isn't. So they're just deceiving themselves and others. And people love that because they're doing the same kind of game. Now there's an absolute small group, but there is a group, minority no doubt, of people that don't have any goodness. They don't ever behave good. They don't care. They're just, you know, anarchists and careless and lawless. I was one of those. But you couldn't tell because on the outside, I look innocent, sweet, nice. How many would trust me? You know, if you can ask Peggy if I'm trustworthy, if I'm reliable. Not only am I not reliable and trustworthy, I have never claimed to be, and I've always assured her that whatever grade she just gave me, it should be F minus or something, you know. I've never been good, never want to be good, never will be good. Anyone else want to say that?
Say it so we can say it again.
I've never been good, never been good. I've never wanted to be good, and I never will be good. Neither within or without. Now, the fact that I am called by God good means I didn't do anything. Because he saw that I couldn't. Apart from me, you can do nothing. I did nothing. I never did what he wanted. But he loved me, and because he loved me, he also not just forgave me, but he also then gave me. He shouldn't have, but because he forgave me, then he decided he could give me something. And so he gave me the Holy Spirit, the same one he had, so that he could transform me into his likeness in this world, not in the world to come. It's not in the world to come that I'm going to do good works. It's right here, but I'm not going to do them, but he that dwells in me doeth the works.
Amen.
So the Bible says that the reason men don't come to God is because they know their deeds are evil, and they're not wrought in God. In other words, none of them were done by God. They were done by you. Therefore, they're evil. Anything you do is evil. Apart from faith, you can do nothing. So without faith, you cannot please God. Faith in what? Faith in yourself? No. Faith in Jesus Christ that he did everything and that you can't add anything to it. How many know when something's perfect, it's perfect. When it's finished, it's finished. When it's over, it's over. And so Jesus is perfect and he did that for you. Just take it. Take it. Don't be noble. I don't know if I'm ready for that. You'll never be ready for it. Just take it. You take it because you need it. Take it just because you want to have it. He wants you to be happy. Did you know he wants you to be happy in this world right now?
Amen.
Now, no one is happier than I am. I've never met anybody happier. I can meet people that are as happy, but only if they had a wicked past. And thank God there's a few of you in this church. I can look at a few right now.
Yes.
Wicked to the hilt. That's the one that God came for. He likes Buddhists, witchcraft people, Satanists. He likes all of them. God has never hated any man, ever. After all, he made him. And he knew all about it. How many know he has foreknowledge? Foreknowledge knows that before he created anybody, he knew everything they would think, say, and do. So since he knew all that, it's his fault for putting that tree right in the middle of the garden. So that every day they'd have to walk past and say, ain't going to eat it. Knowing they would. Because he knew they would. So why didn't he hide the tree? Why didn't he put it outside the garden? You know, why didn't he, blah, blah. Because he didn't want to. He knew everything. So since he knew everything, that's unfair of him. Then to tell me to do right when he knew I couldn't. No, that's fair of him to do it because he wanted you to see that whatever he asked you to do, you wouldn't do it. Has there ever been a child born into the world that wanted to do what their parents said? No. I mean, little kids pretend to because they're little and they don't want to get beaten but or fed or something. But little kids, you know, they're trying not to sin because they were trying to please their parent. But the truth is, as soon as they grow up, let's say about 2, they're already monsters. No. I love that when little kids do that. You go to bed right now. No. I love that. Don't you? That's a little defiance. I mean, every little kid, all little kids are like that. How come Alice gets to stay up? She's 18. You're only 2. Now go to bed. Now, we don't necessarily have to spank them, but we do have to have a loud voice at least, you know, or something, or tickle them or something to get them to go to bed because they don't want to go to bed. You go to sleep right now. They just won't do it. You ever notice that about little kids? Do you notice that little kids are the same as you and me? We're the same. We haven't changed one bit. So it's only Jesus that does all the good. He's the first guy ever. Buddha didn't do good. Nobody did good. Stop counting morality as though it were Christianity. It's neither Christianity nor is it a gift of Christianity. It has nothing to do with Christianity whatsoever. It's the devil thing. That is, your behavior outwardly is just pure legalism. It's pure fig leaf. It's pure deception of God. God, you see, I did what you wanted. Why, in fact, did they put on those clothes? Remember that they fig leafed themselves all together. God wasn't angry that they did that. He was angry that they lied about it when he came in and said, Adam, where are you? In other words, where are you in respect to me? Have you now decided you could deceive me and trick me and lie to me and I couldn't see where you are? How many know that God could see where they were? So was he just joking or was he revealing something about the nature of man, not for his sake, but for theirs? So that man would realize, you cannot exist apart from me. You just did. You just decided not to trust me. You decided to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil as though you could ever know what good was or evil was. What's evil is to pretend like you're not evil. What's good is to know that you're not good. So you always have to ask God, like every little kid has to say, can I wear this shirt, Mom? Can I watch TV right now? Can I go out and play with Johnny? That's what the little kids have to always check with their parents. They don't have some rule or some law they can follow because they don't follow rules and laws. You're not going out to play until you clean this room. And a few minutes later, you come back and the room is pretty much what it was, but a few things have been moved about. Where are you going? I cleaned my room. What do you mean you cleaned your room? Look at it. It's a mess. The blanket was here. I moved it over here toward the bed. It's even on it quite a bit. And so for a little kid, he did it because he did what he wanted to do, which is go out and play. You know, so just whatever you said, he didn't care about that. He just did whatever he needed to do, pushed some toys aside and so on. I'm ready. I love little kids because they go straight for the jugular. I mean, they're going right for what they want. And then when they hear they're caught, They do all kinds of things. I mean, they throw tantrums or, you know, scream or stomp their feet or whatever they do. But the truth is, we're all just wicked people. I love it. I love people because they're wicked. And they're deceptive and tricky. I love tricky people. Don't you love tricky people? Because there's a lot of them. You meet very few just nasty people. Now remember, I grew up in a mafia family. So when you grow up in the mafia family, you see raw, rotten stuff. They're not churchgoers. They don't do things that are right. But they do give to the church. And that buys them in. And that's it. And, you know, the priest never balls that. You know, they never tell them, you know, hey, we can't take your money. they take it. Do y'all understand what I'm saying? So religion is just a farce. God hates religion. He wants true religion. What's true religion? That's where you say, I'm guilty. All right, listen to King David. Remember, he just killed his best friend. Took his wife, slept with her. He just lied about it for, you know, umpteen months. And so King David is confronted by the prophet. And he tells a little story. And David said, wow, that man is evil. That man did bad. And he said, you're the man. And then he wrote this psalm. He hadn't written psalms for, you know, all those months. Stopped at Psalm 50, Psalm 51. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done that which is evil in thy sight. Now, not evil, but evil in thy sight. Not what man calls evil. He thought, hey, as king, I can kill anybody I want and sleep with anybody I want and so on. That's part of the perks. It's part of the deal when you're king. And he had people that would follow him, drink the Kool-Aid, do whatever he said. Cover for him. Cover up. But he knew, I'm caught. But he knew that sin all along. How many psalms did he write during that period of time? None. He just quit that little thing of psalm writing. And once you've sinned, we are clever enough to lie to ourselves, not just others. But we lie to ourselves. I had to do it. If she hadn't been there, I mean, I don't think it's my fault. So anybody can justify anything. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done that which is evil in thy sight. And then, quote, 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 you know, you just move on to the verse that says this. God created me a new heart. I'm a man after your own heart, but you know what? I need a new one. I need one that isn't just me behaving myself. Because I, the man after your own heart, I misbehaved. Even all those evil kings, I'm like them. So that's what God loves when you confess that you are wicked to the hilt. He loves that. So how many here, I mean, you don't have to do this. Nobody has to do this. But how many here are wicked to the hilt? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. That's good. That's a good church. Thank you, 13. I love that. Because that's the one God loves. God does not love people that are trying to please him. You'll never please him by your works or your being. He's already pleased with you. How can you please him when he's already pleased with you? He loves sinners. That's what pleases him, is I acknowledge it. God, I have never done what you wanted. Because I've never been what you wanted. I've always been opposed to you. I've always been rebellious. I've always been against all your laws and rules and stuff. I hate them. I want happiness in this world, not truth. How many want happiness in this world? You'll never get it. How many want truth in this world? You can't find it. So there you have it. So unless that guy bumps into you, you aren't going to find him. I mean, you can search all you want and go up to a mountain or go down to a valley. You're not going to find God. He has to find you. And once he finds you, he is not ticked. He is not angry. He's just going to tell you, let Jesus die for you. That's it. That's good news. That's why our Bible's called Good News. Especially the New Testament rather than the Old Testament. Because in the Old Testament, even though Abraham had faith, those that met Moses forgot the faith of Abraham and decided to do the works of Moses. Big mistake. And God did that deliberately. Why? Because they no longer had the faith of Abraham. It wasn't the law that he put on them so that they would, you know, return to law keeping. He actually just wanted them to acknowledge that they'd sinned against him. Stop calling yourself my people. So you would think after Babylon, they'd get the point. Then Persia, and they'd get the point. Then Alexander the Great and all that stuff. and all those kingdoms, you'd think they'd finally get the point. How many know that people do not learn from their mistakes? You can have them over and over again. I mean, I know it's a parable. You know, you've got to learn from your mistakes. Oh, it's funny. Because it's built in. I don't know the difference between Ram and Rim and all those things, whatever they are. But one of them's permanent. That's you. You got a permanent thing inside of you that God didn't put there. You chose it. At a certain point in your life, you chose to not obey. You chose to not want to go the way of law. How many know we are anarchists by nature? We're just sinful, wicked. We like to cross over the line. We love to, you know, when the parent says, don't go out in the street. And then the next thing you know, the little kid is out there with his tricycle. You know, he just thought, you know, why stop at the end of the driveway? Just keep going. So we tricked our kids. You have to trick kids. We tricked our kids by saying, you do not leave the backyard. And then as soon as they went into the, you know, the middle of the house or got out in front, they knew they had left the backyard. I wanted the guilt to start early. And you go out and whip them and beat them for that. Amen. Didn't I tell you not to go out here? I forgot. The bicycle was just going like this. It just went out there. And besides, Peter did it first. The little kids are just tricky. But actually, I didn't. I just spoke roughly, but I wasn't mad at them at all. They were just doing what I knew they were going to do. How many know God knows you're going to do what you're going to do before you do it? He knew before the foundation of the world what everybody would think and say and do. So he's not at all surprised. How many know God has no surprises? There are no surprises. He's not like, I can't believe my earth isn't following me. He knew that when he created it. He knew that all men would go astray. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. In other words, he created us for glory, but our glory was not that you'd produce it, it was that he would give it.
Amen.
I'm going to say that again. It's not something he demands of you. He never wanted you to behave. He wanted to behave. He just wanted you to know, when I make a promise, you can count on it. What else can you count on? Build your house upon a rock. The promise is the rock. Build your house upon a rock. I'll never leave you or forsake you. I love you unconditionally. Wow. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever shall believe on him shall what? Not perish, but have everlasting life. So it's as simple as that. How many know that's so simple that no one's going to believe it? And the few people that profess that they do, I don't trust them always. Because you can look by their life that they're not happy. I'm happy all the time. Why? Always. Why? Always. Why? Always. Why? That's good news. That's good news. I'm not afraid of my sins or yours. I'm not surprised if somebody bumps me off. I deserve it. I'm not surprised if Peggy, you know, yells at me. I deserve it. I applaud her for doing it. I don't always tell her that because I don't. I love the tricks she has. You know, I love it. Miss Self-Righteous. Peggy, are you really better than me? And I know she knows the answer to that, but she won't give it. She doesn't want to answer that question. How many know that we don't know the love of God until we know the love of God? And if he didn't love you first, you wouldn't know. He loves you for no reason at all. Did you know that we hate God without a cause? They hated me without a cause. Whenever you hate somebody, it's without a cause. The reason you hate me is not because of what I didn't do or what I did do. You hate me because you're a hater. Isn't that funny? You don't think that's funny. So when somebody hates me, and I have lots of people that do that, when somebody hates me, I commend them. That's good. Go for it. But the hatred's in you. It isn't because of what I did, though what I did was hateful. It's because you wanted to find somebody who did something hateful so you could get your hate out. Do you hear me? That's why there's divorce everywhere. We have lots of divorce and alcoholism and drug abuse and blah, blah, blah. But it really has no cause except you wanted to do it. Now, I just said something so powerful, I'm going to say it again. Every time you do something, it's because you wanted to and you enjoyed doing it, even if you hide that from yourself. No, I didn't enjoy it. I felt bad. I was afraid, actually. No, you weren't. You were proud. Hello? You can say amen.
Amen.
Whenever somebody does something, they always wanted to do it, and then they were happy. Even though they bury it. Even though they don't want to know it. They're proud that they defied God, did what they wanted. And they have no reason for it. They just make up reasons to justify it. So the mind is not brilliant. The mind is just really gifted at justifying anything you wanted to do. So the desires are greater than the mind. Now, there's an argument over that all during the Middle Ages, whether it's the will of God that is the most powerful or whether it's the mind of God, as the Greeks had said. When, in fact, it's just because you wanted to do it. It's just will. So everything is the will of God. What is the will of God? 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 What is it? What does God want?
Okay, it is the last, okay, the whole duty of man is to obey his commandments and believe.
Worship God.
No, no, let's listen to her answer.
Okay.
It's in Ecclesiastes.
Okay, I just read that because I write books.
Right.
So I was like,
yeah.
The whole duty of man is to obey. Let's find it.
Yeah, it's in Ecclesiastes. Mm-hmm. Now, don't give any other answers. We're listening only to her right now. The whole duty of man is? I already know it's a mistake.
I'm going to find Ecclesiastes. I'm coming. But
right.
Have patience.
All right.
Lazy
asking. Long suffering. 1398. Okay, I'm having trouble finding Ecclesiastes.
I know. God hides these things.
Where is Ecclesiastes?
After Proverbs.
After Proverbs.
Give us a hint,
Pastor. Okay, I appreciate Jim's patience. He's showing
it. Sure. I love it.
Okay, here we go. Fear God, keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man.
Okay, who's ever done it?
Nobody.
So if that's the whole duty of man, it can't be a work that you could do. So that can't be his will. Unless you understand it's a gift. That he did it through Jesus, who is your substitute. And that whatever Jesus did was to fulfill your duty by obeying the commandments, fearing God, loving God, and so on. You didn't do it. You never did it. Apart from me, you can do nothing. But in me, through me, by me, you can do all things. So if you can do that whole duty of man, it's only because he did it for you. Then he did it in you. Then he did it through you. And that's what chair 4, 5, and 6 is all about. These three chairs are heaven and earth. 4, 5, and 6. Whoever set these up did it wrong. Because, was that you, Alex? Yeah. Look, everything on this side we repent of. Number one is a rotten, open, wicked sinner. That's me. Number two, that's Peggy. All right. Now, which one is better? To be wicked or to pretend like you're not? Well, you are. So how many know? I don't know, you don't enjoy this, but that's okay. It's better to please God than to please your neighbor. Look, is Peggy more righteous than I am?
No.
Everybody thinks she is, but she's not. She's lukewarm. Look at this. It says right on here, lukewarm. So what is wrong with that? Here's what's wrong with that. Is you're never going to be happy. People that are lukewarm are never going to be happy. As a matter of fact, they decided never to be happy in order to please people and to please God. But you don't. The only one he loves. The only one he loves is chair number one.
That's right.
Wicked. Because everybody's here, but they just pretend to be there. But he knows that the difference between pretending and real is real. So this is the only thing he sees is sinners. It doesn't say anything about God, you know, loving hypocrites, liars, fig leaf wearers. It doesn't say anything about that. Self-righteous people. As a matter of fact, he says, woe unto you, Peggy. Did I add that? No, all I'm doing is, I'm a teacher. I'm just teaching. Peggy's perfect in my sight. Why? Because he's perfect in God's sight. Why? Even as a hypocrite. God loves hypocrites. How many know he even loves hypocrites? But he doesn't love their hypocrisy, just like he doesn't love Jim's sin. So he doesn't love what you do. He loves who you are. Even if you go to hell, even if you don't end up in heaven, he still loved you. He will never change. Because Jesus Christ was offered for all mankind. So there's no predestination, meaning that God somehow predetermines where people go. No, he doesn't. You choose it. If you want to go to heaven, you can go. It's an open door. It's a free gift. If you want to go to heaven, you can be as wicked as you can be, and you can still go to heaven. I mean, you can be as wicked as you want. You can still go to heaven. It's just faith. I mean, faith pleases God. Without faith, you cannot please God. Amen. But with it, yeah, now that's it. Why? It has to be faith in him, because it can't be faith in me. And it can't be faith in anybody else. It's got to be faith in God. So that's why it can't be works. It's got to be faith. So true righteousness, the only kind God accepts, is where God does it all, and you take it. Because it isn't for him. Jesus didn't need it. He didn't go to heaven because he was righteous. He is righteousness. As a matter of fact, it's his righteousness. Now, are you ready for me to teach? Because that was all free. That was just an introduction. Now, let's look at the 16th chapter of John, because it's going to say the same thing. Let's start at verse 9. Let's start at 8. No, let's start at 7. I like this one. Watch this. Listen carefully now. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. This is the only truth teller in the world. It is expedient to your advantage. It is expedient for you that I go away. In other words, they're going to kill me. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come to you. How many can see that the benefit of Jesus dying, being buried, rising from the dead, ascending into heaven, and sitting at the right hand of God is so he could send the Holy Spirit? It's the only reason he came. So he's not just Savior. He's baptizer in the Holy Ghost. He's not just 4. He's 5. So his greatest work is not to save you and forgive you of all your sins and then leave you there. His greatest work is that he's not only going to forgive all your sins, count you as righteous by faith, but he also is going to change you and alter you if you don't help him. I mean, that a few of you have helped out a little bit, and that does slow down your progress. Because your works are not perfect. You're never going to change yourself. If you couldn't do it before, why are you doing it now? That's witchcraft. Foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? You began in the spirit, now you're ending in the flesh? I don't think so. You can't do it. So what he wants is to do it all. He wants to do everything for you. It's all a free gift. Just like a good parent, which there are a few of. But a good parent is someone who does everything. I mean, that's what women are better, at mothering than fathers. On Father's Day, I would mention that. Fathers have no patience for that. If I had to wash diapers every day, I'd just put the little kid in the tub and hose him down every once in a while and, leave him there, You're messy. Because that's a guy way of doing things. It's not very effective, really. But moms can put up with slobber and everything. I can't imagine that. And poop and all that. Jim, could you change this diaper? No. It stinks. Get in here and do it, So Peggy had to be rough with me. It's good. So you see the wisdom of God. Can anyone see the wisdom of God? Is that you cannot count on men. How many know that men are unreliable?
Amen.
Men are... I don't know if any of you ladies have noticed that. Don't marry a man. Try to do it some other way. Because men are unreliable.
Well, I think you're a good teacher, because I have one that happens to me.
Yeah, I know. But that's because we break him. We have to bust him. Because if you're not broken down, the man will either be a tyrant or a wimp. If he's a tyrant, you won't like him. And if he's a wimp, you won't like him. So to be a real man of God is to be broken by Jesus. Mm-hmm. and realizes, Lord, thou gavest this woman to me. You know, it's just too much. Did you know that no man can subdue a woman? I mean, a man doesn't know what to do. You know, Adam didn't know what to do with Eve. Jeez, it's not my fault. You gave her to me. The woman thou gavest to me, I can't subdue her. He was probably 6'5", and she was probably 5'2", but the truth is, he couldn't subdue her. And she's the one leading him. Adam, take this thing. It's good. It's not bad, like he said. He lied. Eat this. Okay. So Adam was brilliant. Can you see the brilliance of Adam? You know, let's go against God. I mean, she at least was deceived by the devil. But he just, you know, ate the thing. Well, my wife gave it to me. He said, why did you listen to your wife? Do you remember he said that? Why did you listen to the voice of your wife? I don't know. She's pretty. I don't know you. And so God has a sense of humor. How many know God has a sense of humor? Everything in the Bible to me is like a joke. It's funny. You remember the one about swallowing the camel and straining out the gnat? I think that's funny. Or how about the one about, and so on. Jesus is funny. He is saying things that don't make any sense at all. Everything in the Bible is upside down to everything in this world. My kingdom is not of this world. So there's nothing here that's like his kingdom. Everything will perish. Everything will burn. It's gone. So how many know you don't have a stake down here? This is not your home. This is not your everlasting home. I'm trying to get you to chair 7. But I haven't even got you to chair 4 yet. Or 5. Certainly not 6. 6 is lover. But you can't be a lover until you're dead. And 5. I can't get you burned up and, you know, so you enjoy affliction and so on. How many here are rejoicing in your affliction? That's your key. When affliction comes, it's from the hand of God. In other words, even if it's from the devil, God allows it. He could just stop it. No. So, I believe that everything works out for the good. All things work together for the good of them that love the Lord. Well, I love him. Why? Because he first loved me. Why? I don't know. I'm just taking it. I love it. I love it. I'm happy all the time. I mean, it says in the Bible, rejoice in the Lord always. That's kind of like always. I mean, it sounds like always to me. Like always, always. It means like no ways not. It sounds like no time for griping, complaining, and, you know, yelling and screaming and so on, which I do plenty of. But I just believe that God is a forgiving, loving Father who will do everything. Amen? Do y'all have a Father in heaven that loveth you? I mean, he is, whether you know him or not. But I was telling Peggy in the car, it doesn't matter whether the sun is shining and the clouds are, you know, heavy like they are right now here in Dallas. But in Fort Worth, there was sunshine in part of the place and then clouds in part of the place. The sun's there. I mean, you don't know it because you can't see it. But you can see the clouds have a little bit of lightness to them. But here in Dallas, you can't see anything. There's no sun. So a Dallas person would say there's no sun. But in Fort Worth, we had sun. But you couldn't see it. But some days there's no clouds, so you can see it. So what's the difference? Isn't the sun always there anyway, whether you see it or not, whether it's dark or not? Now, it's not as dark as it could be, but it could be darker. The point is that you just have to believe by faith that there's a sun that always comes up every single day.
Right.
There's never been a day it hasn't come up. Doesn't disappear. That's the way God is. He's totally our rock. He's totally our joy. Now, how many here are happy like I am? All the time, no matter what happens, and even when bad things happen. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Or, all things work together. Or, he that's in me is greater. Or, and there's a million of them. But you should always be happy all the time. Why? I'm not talking about smiley face on the outside. I'm talking about joy on the inside. Because all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord. That's us.
Amen.
So how many are happy all the time regardless? Amen. Yeah, it's a deep down thing. It's a passion. It's not an emotion. Emotions come and go. This is a passion, a deep, you know, underlying current in the ocean. The waves are up on top. Sometimes it's calm. That means nothing. It's the underlying current. That never changes. So you have to be happy all the time.
Amen.
You have to be. No, you don't have to be. You just are when you believe in Jesus.
That's right.
Why? Because he loves me no matter what. No matter what. No matter what. So chair one and two, both forgiven. So I repent of those two. I don't believe in them. But I believe in chair four. I believe that Jesus is my life. That's heaven on earth. I believe that Jesus is going to change me. That's heaven on earth. I believe I will be a lover. That's Jesus, heaven on earth. There it is. That was all me. None of it. None of it was me. Yet I transformed. But I didn't do any of it. I didn't start it. I didn't endure it. I didn't finish it. He did it all. To God be the glory.
Amen.
Now, this is good news. Now, how many are happy now that you heard that? How many are happy that you're going to go to heaven someday, chair seven, and be his bride? He won't be Savior anymore. He won't be Lord anymore. He'll be your bride. You'll be the bride of the bridegroom, and then you'll be the wife of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And you'll do everything he says, not because you have to, because you want to. But he did that by killing off the old you. There's the bad guy gone. And then giving you a new you. There's the good guy. You don't get any credit for it. It's just who you are. So if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. The new has come. Two perfect tenses in the Greek. Perfect is seldom used in the Bible, Old or New Testament, Hebrew or Greek. But when it is used, pay attention to it. It's always going to refer to something God did, not you. God, only God is perfect. Only God is good. Only God is great. Only God is everything. Whatever. He's my all in all. So, how many want to testify right now before I go on? One. Sam.
I can't believe how he can change your life.
Mm.
Every day.
Every day.
Because every day we all wake up with wickedness in our heart or
right.
In our
right.
That guy cut me off on the freeway or something like that.
Right.
But he forgives us.
Yeah.
Every day.
Every day.
And having that happiness, having that joy in your heart.
Unbelievable.
Is unbelievable.
It is. It is. It's exciting. It's fun. I can't imagine anyone wants to postpone heaven till heaven. Why not start today? Did you know you could start right now? Did you know you could start right now? I'm not going to do it, Pastor. Okay, well, nobody's going to make you do it. But I'm already there. Did you know it says in the Bible that we're already seated with Christ in heavenly places? It doesn't say you're going to be. There's no future in it. It's present. So, I am. God am. I am. Because I'm a new creation. So since I'm a new creation, that means he did it all. The same one that created me originally now has recreated me through Jesus Christ. Now, that did not come from nature. That came from culture. He did that historically on earth. And, of course, not everybody's going to believe it. And he said not everybody's going to believe it. So, not everyone is going to heaven. That's ridiculous. It's not true. Why? Because he said so. So, since he said so, I'm going by what he said. So, did he love everybody? Absolutely. Did he pay for everybody? Everybody's prepaid. Anybody could go at any time. So he just told us to go out and share this. This is good news. I can go anywhere in the world and I will find someone who's going to listen to the gospel. I'll also find someone who doesn't like it. Because most people are miserable and they don't like people that are happy around them when they're miserable.
Amen.
Have you ever noticed that? I mean, when you're happy and somebody else is not, they don't like it. When you get in the elevator, hallelujah. They hate that. They're there looking at the floor or whatever. You know, I mean, they're not. They don't like that. Or when you go to the drinking fountain at the office, you know, praise the Lord. They hate that. I mean, if there's something they hate, is don't be happy when I'm feeling miserable. You know, my dog bit me this morning. My wife's leaving. The IRS is auditing. You know, so on. They got problems. What's better is to go and say, God, these things are rough. And they agree with you. Oh, yeah. Let me tell you my story. Could you shut up? I want to tell you my story. It's worse than yours. You think you got it bad. God, wait till you hear mine. I mean, you know, people love to do that. And pastors are suckers for that, you know, except for me. Okay, could you be quiet? I'm going to pray for you right now. You know, I don't even want to hear your story. I don't want to know anything you have to say. I just want to tell you about the good news of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
So, you know, because telling your story just gets me miserable. Jeez, I thought I had it bad till I heard your story. And so people are want to convince you that they're the most miserable, pitiful person on earth. They do. And it's depressing. Now two people are depressed. I'll go home and kick the dog just for fun because I'm mad now. How many know that if we had happiness, it goes a lot further?
Amen.
Happiness is so contagious, but you don't have to push it on people. Just simply be happy. Right. But don't always express it. You don't have to express it. They'll find out. Mm-hmm. They'll know. Because when troubles come, you rejoice, they don't. When they're confused, they will run to you. Though they just criticized you before, they'll call you first. Hey, you're right. 10 years ago you said this. I hated you for it. I'm ready. Wow, that's powerful. So when you plant a seed, you never know when it's going to come up. So listen carefully here. I'll just read these few verses. They're so powerful. 9. And when... 8. So I'll get it. And when he has come, the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, he will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Three things. Sin, righteousness, judgment. He's about to redefine these three words, not in a Jewish way. Not in a Jewish way. Not in a Jewish way. It's important. This is something weird, different. Of sin, because they broke the Ten Commandments. No, doesn't say that. That would be the Jewish way. Oh, you breached. Go get a lamb, quick. Go, make up for it. Do 10 good things. No. You know what he says? Of sin, because you believe not. That's all? My whole purpose in life is just to believe? It's not to do something or be something? No, it's just to believe something. Don't believe who you are, believe who he is. And why would he be something that you need? Because you're dependent on him. If he is a forgiving, loving Savior, which is the next word, that makes a difference to me. It's not good for him, it's good for me. Okay, so, of sin because you believe not on me. Now, he didn't say because you believe not on God. Why didn't he say believe not on God? Everybody would agree with him then. You don't believe in God. That's not what he said. You believe not on me. Well, who are you? Because you believe not on me. That's a scandal. He should have broadened the base. If he's so loving and God so loved the world, shouldn't tie it just to Jesus. Should let Buddha have a part of that, and Hindus and Muslims and so on. Give them all a little peace. How many know that would be good news? But the problem is, with those religions, they put the weight on you. None of those religions put all the weight on God, except this one. Because you believe not on me. Believe what? Believe that I'm all your righteousness. Now, the next one is, and of righteousness, because I go to the Father. What does that mean? Because when I go to the Father, I go for you. I'm not going for Jesus. I'm going for you. I'm a trustee for you. I'm going to speak for you. I'm going to die for you. I'm going to rise for you. I'm going to reign for you. I'm going to do everything for you. I'm your trustee. I'm not the beneficiary. You are. I'm the trustee. I take the law. You take the goodness. You take the gospel. You take the happiness. You take the joy. You take all the goodies. Oh, I like that. So Jesus bears all the burdens, I get all the blessings. I love that. I mean, that is a good deal. Now, when an advertising company tells you that, it's a lie. But when Jesus tells you that, it's the truth. Because he is the truth. And so when he says, I want all the burdens, I don't want you to have one worry, one care, one anything. I want all of it. I'll take everything you care about, everything you didn't do, I'll pay for it. I'll forgive it, then I'll help you. I'll give you my own Holy Spirit. You'll lack nothing from this moment on. Wow, that's incredible. I mean, that is good news. Amen. I get all the blessing, you don't get any? And you get all the burden, I don't get any burden? Wow. Well, what do I have to do to get that? I just said, I take all the burden. You don't do anything. Well, I'm a sinner. Forgive that. I died for all your sin. Well, that's so cool. All of it? How about my futures? Is this just past sins or is it present ones? Because I'm just about to sin. And how about the future? All of it. Well, that doesn't seem right. That doesn't seem. Are you sure you're the same God as the God of the Old Testament? Yep, I'm his son. Are you sure you're from him? Because he said a bunch of law things. Well, yeah, but that was just to prove that you couldn't do it. The only reason he ever gave you a law is so he could prove that you couldn't do it. And you wouldn't do it from all your heart. You wouldn't do it from all your soul. You wouldn't do it with all your strength. You would never do it. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy soul and all thy strength. I've never loved God with half of my heart and half of my soul and half of my strength. Yeah, we just don't love him. So God wants perfect. So Jesus did that. So of sin, because you believe not, and of righteousness, because I go to the Father, but not for me. He didn't say this, but this is what he was saying. I go to the Father for you. Why do you think I died? For you. Why do you think I was raised? For you. When I died, you died. I did that for you. So your old man is dead, your new man is alive. And now I'm going to the Father to show him that I died for all your sins. They're all forgiven. And I will then send the Holy Ghost back to you when I sit on the throne. Say, Dad, is it time? Yeah, now. So on Pentecost, boom, they got everything. So all of a sudden now they had the same Holy Spirit inside of them, but it doesn't work unless you have faith. That's why of sin, because you believe not. If you don't have faith, it's not true. Did Jesus die for the future or did he die for the present? And did he die for something in the future that was going to happen someday? Oh, I'm coming back, you know, and I'll marry you. No, 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 he's not talking about that. He's talking about right now, today. I've forgiven all your sins now, Calvary. Done, 30 AD. Then 50 days later, here's the Holy Ghost. That's going to transform you, and I know you'll enjoy going through the fire, the affliction, the troubles, the problems. People will hate you if you live a godly life. They'll despise you, but you're going to enjoy it. How many know we enjoy that? When people hate us and despise us, we enjoy it. When people abuse us and misuse it, we enjoy it. How many know we enjoy it?
We
no,
do.
Of course we don't. But we do in the spirit.
Amen.
Not in your old man. The flesh hates it. How do you know your flesh doesn't want even a pinprick on you? Ow! You know, that if you just lost your little finger, it would bother your whole body. So we want everything that's mine to be mine. And I want to take care of it. I don't want to lose any of it. But he didn't come to take something from you. He came to give you something.
Amen.
Everything. Himself. With Christ Jesus, he freely gives you all things. Not in the future. Now. You got them all now. I do not. Well, you don't see them. But don't you see something every day? Don't you see the goodness of God in the land of the living? Every day? Woo!
Amen.
Yeah, that's glorious. Now, of sin, because you'd believe not on me, of righteousness, because I go to the Father, and of judgment, because the ruler of this world, Satan, is judged. But you're not part of the world. You're not part of the world anymore. You're a new creation. You're a new creation. That's why Jesus came. Jesus came now to restore you, not to what you were in the Garden of Eden. That's what most pastors teach. I don't believe it. He came to restore you to his original intention when he created you in the first place. Not just to restore you to Adam so he could sin again. He restored you to his original purpose for creating you, and he did it all. He never expected you to do anything.
Amen.
He didn't care that you ate of the apple. He didn't care that you sinned. He didn't care. That is not what he cared about. What he cared about is, after you sin, I'm going to send Jesus. He'll die on the cross. I want you to believe that. Then I want you to know that his righteousness will be yours. Then I want you to know that I'll take care of everything and perfect you so that when you arrive as a bride without spot, wrinkle, or any such thing, you'll know, I did all of that for you. That's how much I love you. Find another God like that. With whom will you compare me? Now, to me, this is good news, especially for Father's Day.
Amen.
I just added that in. Actually, this has nothing to do with fathers at all. But, you know, you just have to say that. Happy Father's Day.
Yeah.
The truth is that God's good news is so good that there's nothing like it in all the world.
That's right.
There's nothing like it. All the other religions are wrong, but they're not wrong because God hates them. He actually loves them. He just hates their theology because it puts the weight on man instead of the truth, which is, I put all the weight on me. So the Father in heaven loveth you. That's his will. That everyone get to know my heart. The Father's heart. We sang a song on that today. And we sang something about, you know, the heart of God, loving God. I mean, that's what it all is. Prepare me thy heart, or prepare my heart, or I prepare my heart, or whatever I do. Actually, you don't prepare your heart. He does it. Actually, he does it. All it is you prepare the way for what he just said, take it in. But that's just believing. Of sin because you believe not. Not of sin because you kept the Ten Commandments. See, he changed that. I thought sin was, you know, having other gods before him. I thought sin was committing adultery, you know, taking his name in vain, you know, stealing, coveting. No! He just told you what sin is. After you do all those Ten Commandment breakings, he's going to forgive you and then give you his own life. That's what sin is, not believing it. So sin is not sinning. Sin is not believing. Do y'all see that?
Yes.
I love this teaching. I'm going to sit here and listen to it. It's so good. Keep going. This is wonderful to me. Why? Because it's good news. None of you have to qualify. You're all pre-qualified. Some of you are wicked on the outside. Some of you are nice on the outside. You're both liars. Now, what God wants is to know that Jesus Christ is your life. He never wanted you to do it. He never wanted you to behave. He always wanted to just give you his love. And that message has not been preached in the churches. But it's okay. God is not, you know, worried about that. But I'm going to, I tell you, this message will go to the end of the age. And if I drop dead right now, somebody else can do it. One of you could do it. Who got a hold of this today that you could do it?
I can do it.
You could do it. You could do it. It's good.
Been around for a long time. That's right.
Amen. Thank you. That's good. But the truth is, you don't need me. You need God.
Amen.
But the truth is, you don't have to, because he wants you. Just take it. Don't be so wonderful and glorious and spiritual. Just take it.
Amen.
That's what he's ever wanted. Just simply take it. Look, Lord, I am worthless. I do not deserve any of this stuff. But if you want to give it to me, I'll take it. I mean, that doesn't sound virtuous, but that's all he's ever wanted. Just simplicity. God, I stink, but you're great. That's all he's ever wanted. That's all he's ever wanted.
Belief.
All right, yeah, that is what belief is. You can't say, I believe in you and I really didn't sin, or I believe in you but I felt bad about my sin. Those are lies. No, I believe in you and I know I'm sinful and wicked and don't deserve it. But that's why she that been forgiven much loveth much. You love much when you don't realize there's any goodness in you, but realize that all the goodness is in him.
Amen.
You never had a father like that. You never had an earthly father like that, truly. You never had one like that. None of my three fathers were like that. You're not going to get that one. First guy left the first night. I mean, so that was the end of him. The second one lasted a couple of years with my mom. That was the end of him. The third one was Adolf Hitler, and I wanted to end him, but he stuck around, you know. But I got him saved, praise God. So I went back to my first one, whom I'd never met, and witnessed to him. Then I went to my second one, witnessed to him. So who knows?
Wonderful.
Nobody knows. They were all happy to see me, you know, but that doesn't mean they became Christians. I have no idea. How could they, you know, with so little going for them? But God knows.
Amen.
And I know he told me to do it.
Yes.
And I enjoyed it. First thing before they ever spoke a word, I said, look, before you say anything, I just want you to know you were the best dad. All three of them. You were the best dad. You birthed me, you know, that's it right there, because you never saw my mom again. And then the second one, you know, you're a wonderful dad. He was a pervert. I know he was a pervert. But you know what? It doesn't make any difference. I told him, you're the best dad. You stuck around for a couple of years. You put up with my mom a couple of years. That was cool. And the third one, I loved him. Why? Because God said you love him. Oh, I do? I don't. Yes, you do. Okay. That's what he says. It's by faith. So I don't have to feel it. I don't have to understand it. But you know what? When I spoke to him, and he became a believer, he said, you know, I've always done my duty, gone to church. I never knew God like you do. I want that. Mm-hmm. And the next morning, he confessed all of his masonry, all of his, you know, trash and stuff of trying to behave yourself. And he said, okay, I burned it all. I burned all the Masonic order going way back, generation after generation, all that paraphernalia. And I wrote a letter already. Because I told him the night before, Dad, you're never going to grow because you have this Masonic junk in your background. You just need to, you know, repent of it all and throw it away and burn all your stuff. Write a letter to show that you really mean it. And the next morning he got up and he had a letter in his hand and he said, I did it. And I didn't know what he was talking about. I mean, I didn't. I forgot all about what I said because I didn't think he would ever do it. Because that was in his family for generations, all that stuff. And he read me the letter. I went, wow, that's powerful. He said, now I'm happy.
Oh.
That was the first time in his life. He said, now I am happy. I want to be like you and Mom. That was awesome. That was awesome. So I tell you what, God can do anything. God can do anything. He can conquer everything. How many know everything is going your way?
Everything.
Everything in your life has been designed by God to cripple you from doing anything good. So that he could just give you a free gift. Just take it. You can laugh. How many know you can laugh today? I'm not going to laugh, Pastor. Okay, you don't have to. Nobody's going to make you laugh. He still loves you. How many know if you never laugh, he still loves you?
Yes.
Well, I ain't smiling. I love it. Some of you are stubborn and you're funny. This could be, Roxy, you're going to Europe.
Yes.
Today.
Yes.
All right, let's pray for him.
Yes.
Lord God, we just thank you for the joy that's on Hugo's heart and in his soul and in his life. I thank you for the joy they're going to have in going on this lifelong planned trip. This is a trip of a lifetime. And wherever they go, let them be lights, but without working at it. Let you just be the light through them. And give them wisdom, give them strength, give them favor, and give them a lot of problems so they remember to count on you. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. So they'll have a good time. They'll have a good time. Come back, give us a good report. Yeah, we lost our wallet the first day, and, you know, that's good. God is good. God is great. God is awesome. The best is yet to come. How many know God saved the best to the last? He's like a woman, he serves dessert all of a sudden. Wow, you should have given this before. I always like to eat the dessert first in case, you know, something happens and I don't get to it. Rather than the beans and all that other stuff. I love the dessert. How many know that God has dessert for you?
Yeah.
Everything is going your way. How many know that it's starting right here in Dallas? This is the place. Robert and I and Bill Noble and, you know, a bunch of people, a bunch of businessmen, a bunch of pastors, upper room, all this kind of stuff. We all met the other day and said, let's have a big meeting this fall. So it's going to be September, October, somewhere. And it'll be a citywide thing. Who knows how big it'll be, but it's just to tell the good news. It's to set people free from demons, set people free from sicknesses, set, you know, heal bodies, everything. Just the whole business. Preaching, teaching, deliverance, you know, healing, everything. All of it. And we're going to have all kinds of pastors who have all agreed to come together to do this. And everyone was happy that Robert and I are back together and all that kind of stuff. And but it's fun. But how many know that with God, all things are possible?
Amen.
All things are possible. But I believe that Dallas is the place where the explosion is going to take place. And, you know, it's just the humor of God to choose Dallas. I mean, there are more bars in Dallas than there are churches. And there's a lot of churches, right? Yeah. But wherever wherever the church is, the devil's going to set up his bar right next door. I mean, there's no question about that. But rejoice. This is the day.
Amen.
This is the day the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Amen.
Woohoo!